and they give up things. So now the two kids, one goes to music ministry and one does the, he's not really, he doesn't want to be preaching position, he wants to be in academic position. But they both felt very strongly about the ministry themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And lately we talked to the second one, both Daniel and I. And then we found that they really have a true calling. He shared with us the trouble of Chinese church in Canada, not America. But he feels very strong about the second generation, how the second generation look at the church. And I thank God for them, because I really feel that God had calling for young people to go into ministry for this generation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm thankful my sister give up her feeling about ministry. And because we all born in the church, in a Christian family, so we all know about the struggle of being a preacher, being a pastor in the church and all that. We know the problems. So we didn't want sons in this ministry. But she gave up. She said she's willing to lay down their selfishness. And they want to give, you know, the children to God. So I think, you know, there's really parents have a lot of a lot of willingness to submit themselves. So I can testify with you that this kind of
yeah. Well, of course. Now you got to understand. Of course that no, it is not just because your kids go into ministry and that is considered the ultimate calling. No, it's absolutely not. I just want to clarify that. But when we say that we encourage our kids to love God, how far do we really want them to love God? If they really love God and says, Mom, I'm going to spend tonight because I got a church, I got something, and then you want her to spend the time with you. Are they going to put God, you know, church God first above you? Because we always want our kids to first us first. And so I'm not saying that, no, that the guy wants, you know, Jesus want to call him to follow me totally. But the same way I remind my daughter that says, hey, if you choose, when you choose your specialty, put your family and put God first. And my daughter is now bent on, but she wants to be an orthopedic surgeon. And 她要做骨科医生. And I said, no. I'm not daddy trying to stop you, but then how do you put family and then put God first? And so. So if my daughter now go into business, she's now going to supply chain, and then I always said, how do you serve the Lord with your positions? And I'm not saying that no. I always trying to remind her as well. She was the one who I have struggled with, a lot of struggle. Well, maybe this is a good time. Go ahead.
What you're discussing, a different generation.
Okay, all right.
We're talking about parents and kids.
Right.
There is a lot of challenge. The parents, the elderly parents, it's a big challenge. This kind of thing that I'm not sharing this to kind of discredit the, you know, the need, but I think it's there, a dynamic. Generation, our generation, the older parents, you. I think just to be a little personal to me, the meaning. After Jay and I was married, we lived with our parents, with my parents, and this family, about, you know, five years or so. Take care of them. And after I retired from my practice, I have really strong tension between some sort of mission.
Mm-hmm.
But because of their medical, their But the challenge that is when we talk about possibility of awakening, something to be going away, for example, from my point of view, and my mother would say that you don't have to go to mission. We are your mission. Your mission is to serve us. You don't want to go away.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, as son and you know, I mean, how that's the kind of challenge we're dealing with. So anyway, so I mean, just say it's a question that we do have to deal with that struggle. So after my sister got over here about 3 years ago, I think go away for first medical mission. So we are dealing with the struggle of parental responsibility versus serving. In that sense, I think it's a real struggle. We are talking about the parent and the children. I think on another level, we also have this other level to deal with. And some of you get older, you have to deal with this kind of challenge too. You know, how do you prioritize, you know, your duty and so forth versus how you want to serve.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear the story from the second generation who want to serve. And so they said that the parents would say, all you care is about God. What about my feelings? Yeah. And you want to serve missions. Why don't you serve right here? And all you think now is you love Jesus so much that what about you loving us? See, we put all that. Anyway, so I'm just okay. Let me come back to this. So this is what I tried to. You see that it was growth we were talking about earlier, right? Remember that little step thing. And I think what the church could do is that if we add this part, we would do the blessing and we value the second generation. And then we start, when they're a little bit older, then we start to involve them into serving in church. And we encourage them to be part. We encourage them to have part of the worship. I got to make sure. There's no drum here. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, so the parents even change. That the adults even want to incorporate the young people into the part of the worship and having the lead, the songs, and parents say, hey, well, how come we're singing all the songs, short songs? But then we value the experience of being together, worship, and we, the Chinese, you know, we overcome that attitude. They don't know. You know that when I was in my Northwest Chinese Baptist Church, once a month, we invite those people who, young people that who are in, who have a desire to serve, to come and preach. You know? You guys won't even let anybody who doesn't have a PhD to get up there and preach, right? Would you ever accept somebody who is a high school kid and come and share? Or do you and I think that we had nothing to learn from them? You know? We give the highest honor on every Easter to those young people who have desire to serve the Lord. We invite them to preach on Easter Sunday. Oh, you know that we tell them 6 months ahead of time and they prepare and they prepare. And they'll come and says, what do you think? And I was all, and then the whole families are praying for them. And I see the young people say, hey, we're praying for you. Preach on, boy. Preach on, man. And we as a church, as a family, allow young people to share. Why not? Why do you have to have Pastor Lee to preach? You know, that it shakes our mind. You know? Can we not learn from our kids? Can we learn not learn from our young people? And of course, no, they don't preach as good as me. They can't tell stories, no. But hey, this is their learning, this is their struggling, and we allow them to share. And when the young people said, "Wow, I get to preach," and we can say, "Yeah, you can lead, be sure." It takes a little bit of changing of mindset. Okay, so and then later on we also challenge them, and so I think what the church does is to lay the foundation and help them to be a solid steps. And I just used it. When the church and the parents, if we fail, then what would happen is that by the time when they, by the adolescent, by the time they go to college, the faith falls apart. A lot of churches by this time has no use. There's no friends and no, and so. Although this is, I mean, this is gross simplification, but what can we do as a church? The English has the word burden. Do we really have a burden for the second generation, or do we consider a second generation a burden? 重担还是有一个负担? It's all in your mentality. And see, and if you see that the church, I got a burden for them, you will make your way, you will go out of your way, and you'll see that your young people will grow, and then you'll be happy. And then the Lord bless you. And I just run through some of this. Just run this through quickly because this is the PowerPoint I don't usually use. And in this, when they were small, the church and had the responsibility, and hopefully that when they're small, then that they would start to have a fear for God. I wasted a couple hours trying to figure out how to make that thing move, but anyway. And then later on, as they grow a little bit older, it's just like Jesus, the model that no, we can. And then because of that, now they have friends in church, and then they begin to be part of the fellowship. And I don't really. Anyway, so that's a bit too much. And then as they get older, we hopefully that we'll have a young people that are growing up that in church. Not just a church attendee, but then they have victory over sins. And then they're really solid Christians. And I'll tell you this, because I hate Facebook. You know, Facebook, unless you're invited, you can't see what your kids are doing. And you know your young people, they would not tell you anything, but every 5 seconds they would Twitter and put whatever their feelings to their friends, you know? And they will tell you everything that they're doing and what they think on Facebook. And if you're not invited, you don't even see it. When they used to be on Zanga, we can figure it out. And I'm trying to read secretly what they do. This is in our church. Kids of the leadership. My daughter says, "Dad, you might want to take a look at this. Maybe you can use it for your book." My daughter. He says, "What? Wow. She and her boyfriend went to Las Vegas. We have a nice little honeymoon. And here's a picture of them laying on the poolside. And it says, we had a great time. Wish you were all here. It's just like Vegas says, everything happened here stays here." And this is college kid, okay? And the parents probably call and then they answer the phone and say, "Mom, everything's fine. I'm doing my homework." And nobody knows, no adult knows, but all the kids, they know. And all the kids are not going to spill the beans and tell each other. But, and you'd be surprised what they put on the, when you take away the anonymities, no, know, you give them the anonymity. That it means that they don't have to identify what they say. And you read the thing, it says, this is our kid. And use the F word and F the no. Well, let me be real. Fuck the pastor, fuck this, fuck that. I mean, it's real. I mean, if we say we don't use this word, you're like a tornado digging your head into the sand. That is the word of the day, or no, that's what they, F this, F that, F the youth pastor, F this, F that. And you said, huh? This is all youth group people. And so, wake up. I mean, be involved. What I mean is be involved. And so, be the positive influence. I'm not trying to say that your kid is bad, but this is the way the young people are. They may not even say any foul word, but then when they type, it's all there. And if they invite you, you can read what they say and then we respect it. Like I said, I hate Facebook because unless you get invited, you can't see it. And but we want them to overcome temptations. All the kids know who is doing the drinking, and the only person who don't know is the parent. Yeah. And all right. Any questions? You have a lot of questions. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
One question, I think some parents today, the argument will be in their mind because of the loose liberal education in the public, school nowadays. I think when the parent comes to a certain level of education, they wonder whether to put their kids in public school, in private school, or Christian school. I think that is a person's mind, it's not just, I think, let's see what your opinion from the survey, what your opinion in terms of the future of those children, whether there is some guideline for parents to choose. I suppose it depends on the children themselves, how they develop under those atmosphere, under those environment that for one kid is different from another kid. Maybe there's one child in the family that specifically needs that kind of protection and environment to nourish them, and then another child may be plus a different character can withstand some of those challenges in the public setting, public school setting. So I just wonder if you have any advice for parents in
I come back to the easiest one. Can you afford it? even the Christian school costs money, right? So if you can afford it, you're going to put all four kids. I have four kids, so we all make use of the Christian school. All my kids have 2 years of Christian school, and then they'll move on to regular school because we thought that the Christian school was very good in the three R's, the arithmetic and writing and beginning, so lay the foundation. So that was the reason we sent them. And then after that, we took them out. I have a sister who homeschooled with mixed result. I'm always worried about the social interaction part of it. If you want to know what the Chinese family in North America and homeschool, I know of a book. It was just published a couple of years ago. I ran into the author. She was a sociology PhD. She did a doctoral thesis and wrote it as a book. That's called 照顾祖的羊, 然后那个羊变成 Y-O-U-N-G. I'll just talk more about the North America, especially American homeschool Chinese families in some interviews. I'm not particularly strong, and I'm not an expert now, therefore you shouldn't even touch that. personally, I think that, do you think Christian school is better in faith? Last week, I run into one who, a young man after church came up to me and says, you know, I went to Wheaton, but I lost my faith. And he explained to me why. Has a lot to do with, he said he had a roommate in Wheaton who was agnostic, who didn't really believe in God. And our intention is to try to protect them, I think what we probably need to do is we should do more of the prevention, the immunity part. And I know this is an amoral society. I know there's sex, drug everywhere. But do I put my kids in a bubble? But if I send them to a Christian school, Christian high school, then do I send them to Notre Dame or Baylor? You know, how far are you going to protect them all the way or something? That I personally have a struggle. Go ahead.
You said you put them 2 years.
Yeah.
At what stage? Did it college?
No. I'm sorry. I mean that was the kindergarten and first grade.
Preschool.
Yeah, preschool and first grade. Yeah.
But at this age.
No. I told you that the only reason is that we thought that they'll give them a solid arithmetic. No. We only send them there because we thought that was give them a better teaching of arithmetic and writing and composition. Yeah, that's all. Yeah, it wasn't for that. Yeah. Oh. Why? Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. So, we did that because our first kid in kindergarten they were teaching it so well, so we skipped her. Later on, yeah. So she jumped first grade into second grade. Public school didn't allow that. In a Christian school, they were able to, yeah. If you surpass that, then they'll move you to second grade. Go ahead. Well, the first thing is I was not meant to know, so I didn't have that obligation, so it's a putcha. The second, the parents, I know them. I know the parents well. Sometimes we even go out Sunday night to have dinner. No. It's very hard, no. But I still don't say it. She's grown. Well, we are so much in need. From that perspective, what happened is my daughter. Yeah, and they are very. They know that they know that their daughter is dating a non-believer. We heard, you know, but then we heard that. They also told other people that 他的这个女儿的男朋友, the boyfriend is very rich. Their family has private plane. And so now I know, I can understand they're in a struggle. But then I heard that, you know, the mother says, we have taught her everything. And we hope that she knows how to make the right decisions. And the fact that they went to Las Vegas and had two nights there, I don't know. Should I tell? What do you think? Let's have a vote. Should I tell? Anybody say yes? No. Anybody say I should tell? Thank you. Well, if I say I pray for it, I don't pray about it, I'll be a hypocrite. Yeah. So that's why we had that little booklet, so pray for young people in church. So it is hard. Go ahead.
I have a question. To what extent can you teach your children how old they should be before you start preaching to them? I mean, if they're in college, they are considered adults. They have the right to vote. They have their complete freedom. So as parents, how much can you do? We are equal in front of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think if we do this teaching part when they were small, you know, we do all the teaching, and then you continue to talk about it, and then afterward, when you're a high school or adult, we should continue to do the reminding part and the encouragement part. My oldest daughter, now that the boyfriend is over there. I mean, it's very awkward. I mean, first, you know, she moved over to Houston, and then the guys stay in Electronic Arts in Los Angeles. So I said, well, I don't know whether your relationship is going to continue. So we were praying so that one of them could be united, okay, so for their relationship, you know, to continue on. So God answered the question, and so Andrew moved over there. And now they are a bit close. he has his apartment. She has owned her apartment. And sometimes when I call her, no, I'm not going to say, hey, are you with Andrew? No, what are you guys doing now? When I went and visited, stay at her condo, she said, Dad, tonight at 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock, I'm going to be spending time with Andrew. Okay. And but I'm not going to say, hey, be back by 12. I mean, she's 24, and then, that's what I said. I just said, no, when I was there with her, no, I said, hey, you know, you guys either don't think about marriage or remember to think about the dime. I said, no, and then she said, Dad, I know. But am I going to say, hey? But you know what? My wife would remind, would tell her kids, or her daughters now, says, you know, you guys should not be engaged for too long or stay like that, because it's hard to keep your father away from me, you know. And so it is true. We went for almost 18 months of engagement, and my wife just kept, you know, saying, don't hold it, and just, you know, keep it till the marriage. And I said, oh, come on, honey, no, don't do that, no. And so when my daughter is doing the urology, the men, you know, the equipment things, and all when she said, and I told you this morning, she says, you men are all alike. I said, honey, yeah, you guys got hormone. Oh man, I said, do you want me to talk to Andrew? And she said, no, I can handle this. Okay, that's good. Yeah. It is very hard. No, we have to trust. And even if they make mistakes, they're still our children. Just because they have sex, am I going to say I have a failure? You see? Is my love for my daughter very different than my son? You know, am I going to teach him, hey, you girls, you got to be virgins. You guys can do whatever. That's okay. As my father used to say, just be about 生米煮成熟饭带进来. You know? You don't want to cook the rice, then you can't. No, you're having the baby. But you know that I come to appreciate that, you know, maybe 6-7 years ago, when I got a letter, and I remember reading the letter from our missionary. It says, the first line is to Jeff, and then he wrote by hand. He says, as you are reading this letter and you feel that you want to judge me, I understand. And if you feel so strong that you want to drop my support, we will understand. And then he went on. Our youngest daughter, Becky, the one you know very well, has become pregnant and we're expecting a grandson, but we don't know who the father is. As I was reading that, I said, how could you be a missionary and the one we love and the other one, you can't even teach your kids right. And you're trying to, you know, we'll be morally, you know, and so my wife has said, are we going to drop them? Her church, two letters later, he wrote a letter and says, Becky has been accepted by her church. Her church, the pastor did one thing. When she gave birth, the lady in the church had a baby shower for her, and they came and embraced her. And the church accepted this young, unwed mother. The youth pastor married her. I mean, this sounds like a Hollywood story. No, but the thing is that many of churches would. People, young people that have problems are immediately rejected and they don't find themselves fit. You know, in our church, we don't find anybody who are from broken family, young people that from alcoholism. We don't want any kids with drug problem. We don't want any kids with grade point or 3 point below. Yeah, I mean, we don't say it, but then we only want good kids. And that's why our youth program in the church is always a safe haven for our kids. It's a greenhouse. And no wonder, you know, this is not the real world. But as our church don't have that attitude of this outreach, our church become, we don't welcome dysfunctional family. But half the marriage ends up in divorce, and the other half, half of them, a quarter of them are struggling. No families are perfect, and no young teenagers are normal. So if we set artificial criteria, we won't have anybody to minister to. So I just challenge you to, Jesus welcomed the sinners. Are we going to welcome those sinful young people? So. Okay, time for potty break. Diaper change? Potty break. Diaper change.